Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to what is going to be a very special episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and back with me again is my good friend, Dan. And on this week's show, we are doing our end of year review for the year of 2021. And basically, we're going to go around and hand out our awards for swimming performances throughout the season. Dan, I'm really looking forward to this one. We've been building up for a while. We've put Twitter polls out.
We have.
It's good to finally get to this point.
I know, especially when British swimming has done so well this year. I mean, there's a lot to celebrate, not just the ones who won medals, but it's the ones who are coming through the ranks, maybe on the fringe medal sort of international stage. We've got to celebrate those guys as well. And we're looking forward to it. I can't wait to get into the awards, but we've got things to go through first, actually, which is exciting.
Yeah. Essentially, what our awards are going to be when we get to them are mine and Dan's opinions. They are opinion only. Don't take this as a matter of fact, but we have for this year's awards, unlike we did last year, given a third vote and a voice to our listeners through Twitter polls.
Yes.
So essentially, if me and Dan can't decide on any of the awards, the public or our listeners essentially will have the deciding vote, and we can't argue with that, not in the slightest. Now, of course, there are going to be some bias towards British performances because our ethos is to grow the awareness of British swimming. That's why there are awards solely for British swimming. But we do have separate categories for international awards as well. Now, Dan, you said there are things we need to address first before we get to the awards. Like I said to start with, it's an end of year review. So there's plenty of things to go through. I think to touch upon, should we talk about this podcast as a whole? Because a year ago, we started getting guests on the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. We were a little bit blown away that we were able to get into British swimming, essentially the elite side of British swimming, having conversations. But over the year of 2021, it has gone nuts. It's gone crazy. The names we have had on, if I list just a few, just a handful.
Just a few, go on, yeah.
Hannah Miley.
Yep.
Jack Bridge. Susanna Hext. Jazz Carling. Lauren Quigley. Russ Barber. Jamie Main. Luke Greenbank. And of course, Adam Peaty. I mean, it's just stunning that we've, not that we've been able to get these guests on, because this is never about us. That we've been able to have conversations and share their knowledge with all of our listeners and all of the British swimming public.
Yeah, the idea is to share their stories, to build their profiles. We've always said, it's been our ethos, basically, that it's not about us. We are the faces of propulsion swimming, but it's not about us. We're not trying to get ourselves out there. It's actually showing off our British swimmers, because they are some of the best swimmers in the world. And some people don't even know who they are. People know Amazingly. Adam, of course. But then you get the likes of Duncan Scott, who won more medals than Adam. In fact, he won the most out of any British athletes across Tokyo. And not many people know him. And this is what we want to do. We want to try and build the exposure. We want to expose these swimmers for who they are, which is amazing athletes. And that's the plan. That's the aim.
So Dan, who was your kind of, I'm not going to ask you to pick out one, but what was your most entertaining podcast that you've done this year, or one that surprised you the most?
It's tough. There's so many. Like, you've listed just loads just then, and there's another good couple to go through. My favorite, if I was to pick one out of thin air, I would say James Wilby. Actually, really interesting.
It was a really interesting topic as well, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. All about the team aspects. And I've been a firm believer that swimming is a team sport. And actually, James reached out to us, didn't he? About talking about the subjects. And it was an hour. He was great at it. He sold it brilliantly. Very entertaining. I could talk to him for hours and hours. I mean, there's loads of others. Abby Wood we had on recently as well. Just loads. I mean, if you were to pick one, who would you say as well?
So for me, the most surprising was Jacob Whistle, because he's 16 and spoke like a 30-year-old who's been swimming forever.
Yeah.
But actually, my favorite conversation I think we had was with Dan Jervis. touching massively on the mental health side of swimming. And it's very personable to me. I've spoken about it in the past. And it just opened my eyes that these are elite swimmers, and they have, some of them have other jobs to help them distract themselves away from the rigors of swimming. It was an amazing conversation. So before we dwell on too many past episodes, I'd just say, if you haven't listened to any of them yet, go back through our archive and listen to the ones this year. There have been some fantastic interviews. You won't be wasting your time at all by listening to them.
I mean, another one that's just come to my mind, another two actually, was Susanna Hext. Her story was truly inspiring, not just to para swimmers, but to able-bodied swimmers and actually athletes and humans in general, to be honest with you. Truly inspiring. And then Max Litchfield with his saving the environment ideas and plans and schemes that he wants to do. There's so many. I could list them all. There's so many. Catch up if you haven't watched them. They are very, very interesting.
Yes. So let's go through kind of the good points of the year 2021 in the swimming world. This isn't an award. This is just kind of our us mentioning kind of our favorite bits. So for me, I think Amazon getting involved in swimming was huge.
Massive.
The way they covered Aussie trials was, I don't know, it pushed swimming on to a new level. I'd say their coverage was right up there with anything that happened at the Olympics.
Yep.
And then the way they covered the Head Above Water series as well.
Yeah.
Following Kyle Chalmers, Cody Simpson, it was phenomenal.
Yes, I completely agree with you. I mean, when the Aussie trials were on, it was, in my head, in my opinion, completely flawless. I know some people say that it was a little bit slow in between, but actually they filled the gaps with interviews with these guys and, you know, bits and pieces of behind the scenes, like Cody Simpson doing his training. Just awesome. If that can happen more for next year and future years, then I think swimming is in a good place. My biggest takeaway was that, you know, the Phelps and Lochte era, the classic duels and battles, I think we're starting to get a good couple of rivalries now in swimming, post Phelps Lochte era, none more so than Chalmers and Dressel. I mean, the 100 free is looking good for a good couple of years. You could throw Dressel and Milak in there as well for the 100 fly. And then on a women's side, it's got to be Titmus and Ledecky, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a real world-class showdown in the 400 free this year at Tokyo. A lot of good things. And I suppose another thing would be the longevity for these swimmers. Nicolas Santos, for example, still going. And I think ISL is definitely helping on that front. So there's a few good things.
Yeah, for all its flaws, ISL is definitely helping with longevity. We won't, you know what? I don't want to touch too much upon the negativity around ISL. We could cover that on a different topic. My final good thing, I would say, before we go into kind of favorite moments, would be British swimming performances as a whole. They were the most successful Olympic team. It was the most successful Olympics in British swimming history.
Yep.
And Adam Peaty isn't the only name of British swimming anymore. I think that's the big thing for me. He is not carrying this team by himself.
Absolutely. Completely agree with you. The only thing, like we said at the very beginning, Adam is known to everyone, probably in a country, give or take. And our job is to make sure other people know these amazing swimmers, because like you said, how many medals did we win at Tokyo? Was it 8 in the end? 9? I mean, this is awesome. By far our best year, Olympic year ever. And hopefully, I do believe we're going to better it next time with the swimmers that are coming through. So fingers crossed and looking very exciting. Yeah. And only 3 years, of course. Yeah. Only 3 years.
Okay. Final thing then I'm going to ask you before we go into our first award. Favorite moment of the swimming year? Because there's a few. I can't give an award out for this because there's so many. For me,
there's quite a few.
I loved seeing Jimmy Guy. Jimmy Guy's emotions at Tokyo. It just, I don't know how to describe it. I honestly don't know how to describe it. It just made me feel all warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, warm and fuzzy. that was one of my things. I've actually written down five. I'll go through all of them, actually. Kieran Bird at Olympic Trials. He was never supposed to go 3:46. He was never supposed to qualify for the Olympics with that time because he dropped off 5 seconds for me. Yeah, and the shock in his face that he's achieved his dream was just, I don't know, inspirational, quite emotional, actually, when you see him achieve his goal. Then there was Dressel at the 50-free in Tokyo. I mean, you don't win a 50-free by 0.4. That's just outrageous, outrageous swim. And then my top two, actually, I cannot choose between the two of them, to be honest with you. Watching Tom Dean's family celebrating when he won the 200 free.
Yeah, that was good.
That was magical, almost just incredible. And then the other one, this would probably be my number one, to be honest with you, was when Schoonermaker got the world record in 200 breaststroke, and the fact there were four girls, the two Americans and two South Africans, coming together to celebrate what is a groundbreaking world record. And I think everyone realizes that, and the sportsmanship around that whole scenario, that situation, was brilliant, actually. And that has to be my favorite moment of the year for me.
Yeah, like I said, we aren't going to make that an award because there are so many things. What I will say is, in the comments section of this video on YouTube, if you are watching on YouTube, why don't you leave your favorite moment of the swimming year below there, so basically everyone can reminisce on what was an incredible year.
Yep.
So Dan, should we get into our first award of the show? And let's we kick things off with British Newcomer of the Year. Now, because newcomer is slightly ambiguous, we do have a few parameters for basically who's up for this award. So all newcomers must be 21 years and under as of the end of the Olympics, because that's the end of
the swimming
essentially
season.
The swimming season, and it starts again halfway through the year. And they must be in their first year of international senior competition. Now, when we put this out to public vote, we got a few questions as, why is Tom Dean not on here? Well, essentially, Tom Dean has been part of that 4x2 freestyle relay for quite a long time now. Yep. He may just be kind of breaking into people's point of view and onto the swimming scene as a newcomer, but he has been around in the senior competition level for a long time.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Let the debating begin. I'm not quite sure if there is going to be a debate on some of these, but I'm sure there will be on others.
Yep.
So to start with, should we start with our honorable mentions? Because we put out three names for the public vote, and there are, for me, I think three names who deserve an honorable mention who didn't quite get up to the same level, but they were still equally impressive.
Yep.
So Ed Mildred, who... is he on his first international senior year of competition? Just about. He went to Europeans, didn't he?
He went to Europeans, that's right. Casey Shanahan, again, was at Europeans as well. So that would have been a first senior competition. And I believe only 16, 17 still as well. And then one more honorable mention I had to match your three, funnily enough, was Cassie Wild. Again, same sort of thing, Europeans. She went to Olympics as well.
Kind of came out of nowhere.
Very much so, yeah. So I'm amazing European score, 207, I believe it was. Didn't quite happen for her at Tokyo, which is probably why she doesn't quite make it into our top three. But those three, watch out for those three swimmers, because they are looking good for the next 3 years in Paris, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, so the main contenders then, Jacob Whittle, Alicia Wilson, and Matt Richards. So shall I just pick my winner? And then
you
we
go
debate?
For it. Who have you picked?
I've gone Matt Richards.
Have you actually?
Matt Richards, because Olympic gold as part of relay team, and he qualified as third fastest in the 200 meters freestyle, which was the deepest event that British swimming has ever had.
Ever.
And he's 18, breaking Welsh records, all over the place. For me, he wins it. For me, he is British Newcomer of the Year. How about you?
I suppose the only way I would debate it with you would be for Jacob Whittle to win it, just because he's doing something that 16, 17-year-olds shouldn't really be doing, rapid times. And actually taking part in the 100-meter freestyle at that age at the Tokyo Olympics or at any Olympics is kind of unheard of. I mean, you get Kyle Chalmers, but look at Kyle Chalmers now, and he's the best in the world. I mean, you're looking at Jacob Whittle, give it 3 years, and he might be the best in the world. You just don't know. So that would be the argument, but I'm going to agree with you. Has to be Matt Richards, that Olympic gold, and his third leg, which was quite funny when he was being interviewed. His third leg was amazing. It was absolutely incredible. And I think he's going to go on leaps on bounds, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I agree with you. Matt Definitely. Richards.
And I think Alicia Wilson does need a mention as well, because Olympic finalist in her first Olympics, first year of senior competition. She's out training in Cal in America. So there's huge things to come from her. She was the only one of those three to make an individual Olympic final. So,
that's pretty good.
But the propulsion swimming British newcomer of the year is Matt Richards.
Yes, congratulations, Matt. Yeah, he deserves it, though, I think. That Olympic gold medal is going to stay with him forever, and I do believe he gets another one in the future, with him only being 18, 19. God, he's got so many years to go.
Definitely. Okay, International Newcomer of the Year. Now, this one, loads of names there's we could loads. Go for here. You've got Tori Huss, you've got Matthew Sates, who was killing the short course scene towards the end of the season. Yeah. Hwang Sung-woo, very impressive. How he didn't make our public vote is beyond me.
That's insane.
Which is nuts. And then you've got the winner of the 400 meters freestyle, Ahmed Hafanui.
Yep.
You've got Lydia Jacoby, who won the 100 meters breaststroke, which was a massive shock.
Yep.
David Popovici, we know all sorts of crazy things that he's been doing. And then Bobby Fink. At the time of the Olympics, he was only 21, would you believe? He's now 22 at the point of the recording this, but he still fits under our conditions. Dan, you go first. Where are
Shall
you
I go first this time? It's tough. Really tough just to pick one out of all of those names you've just spoken about. The fact that Hwang Sung-woo isn't in our top four is, like you say, baffling. The fact that he is just blowing everyone out of the water at the moment, long course and short course, maybe not winning the international senior golds at, let's say, Olympics or whatever. But the fact that he doesn't make top four, my winner, I think quite a popular one maybe as well, would be Popovici.
Okay.
I've talked about Jacob Whittle doing what he's been doing at 16, 17, but David Popovici's been doing better at 16. And the fact that he went 47.3 for 100, which is unheard of. Then he went to the Tokyo Olympics with this massive media following. And you just think, God, there's so much pressure on the kid. He's either going to do really well, or he's going to fold. And actually, he did really, really well. The fact that he finished fourth in the 200, which I think is what he's better suited to go 144 at 16. I mean, you're talking like Michael Phelps sort of standards. Who's 15? I mean, he's not quite breaking the world record like Michael Phelps did. But, you know, you're talking in that same sort of bracket. So for me, it's David Popovici. I can tell that you're slightly different, though.
I am different. I'm going to go Bobby Fink as my pick because two Olympic golds, simple as that. I mean, David Popovici, the sexy name. Everyone has heard of what he's done because of about a million swimswam articles written about him this year. And I have no doubt he is going to be a future superstar. But when you put his performances against Bobby Fink's performances on paper, for me, there's no question. I think Bobby Fink's got to win that.
In terms
because
of Olympic
it's
medals,
two golds.
Absolutely.
It's two golds.
Yeah.
I mean, he's rewriting the record books. I get that.
Yeah.
But are you going records more important or Olympic golds are more important?
Oh, it's difficult to say because Popovici could end up winning numerous gold medals, couldn't he? And actually, really realized that Popovici is the only swimmer that hasn't won Olympic gold.
Exactly. So he's the sexy name for me. He's the name everyone's aware of. Everyone knows what swims he's done because of all of these articles written about him. But in my opinion, is he fourth? Are we putting that much weight in on Olympic golds?
It's insane, to be honest with you. And Bobby Fink, actually, with his last 50-meter speed as well, I mean, he could be around for a long, long time. All he's got to do is hold pace with everyone, stay on their hips, and he's just going to blast everyone out of the water in the final 50. It's a difficult one, isn't it?
I mean, it's really difficult.
Really difficult. The fact that you have to try and pick one. I've gone with the kind of the sexy name, I suppose. Yeah, the one that's the most popular. Just because I think that he does have something special in the tank in the future. So
that's
as of right now, it's got to be one of the Olympic medalists. We haven't even talked about Hafanui, who was not supposed to win that 403. Exactly. Let's say that out in lane, I believe it was lane 8 or lane 1. I think it was lane 8. Not supposed to win that race, especially with the two Australians in there. And you had Kieran Smith in there, the American. You're not supposed to win that race. And yet, tactically, amazing. Masterclass, almost. And he held back the chasing Australians and the Europeans in the middle, like Felix Obeck and people like that.
How voice weighed you?
It's difficult because you've just... The two Olympic golds take precedent, surely. I mean, it's the pinnacle of sport, and he's done it twice.
I have no arguments with you that David Popovici is the future of the sport. Yeah. This is the award for Newcomer of the Year. And yes, he's had all of the articles, but there's no international senior medal.
No, because he did his I suppose his best performances were at the European Juniors, weren't they?
Exactly.
That's where the 47.3 came from. And of course, he was then in clear water and not against the big guns of Dressel and Chalmers and everyone else. And so he wasn't in the clear water. He had the choppy waves next to him, for example. So I think if we do this next year or the year after, then he will probably be the one, but then he probably doesn't come under our category in the end. It's difficult. I mean, you probably will sway me just because Bobby Vink is a double Olympic gold medalist. I mean, it's the pinnacle, isn't it? And Popovici hasn't achieved the pinnacle.
Isn't like that Bobby Fink's goals were against slouches. That was a hell of a competition as well. Four very, very good distance swimmers. And I don't think distance swimming gets anywhere near the respect it deserves.
No. And especially when you got Paltrinieri, like you were saying, Paltrinieri, Romanchuk, you had Felix Obeck. That was just incredible. And very much came out of the blue, Bobby Vink, as well. He wasn't supposed to win that race, was he? He was supposed to be Paltrinieri versus Romanchuk, roughly, or Welbrock, or whoever.
Yeah.
And he's just thrown a big spoiler throughout the whole distance world, I suppose. And now everyone's going to have a target on him. So it's difficult. My argument with Popovici is difficult when he hasn't actually achieved senior medals. So should we go for Bobby Fink?
I'm not going to say no. I would say the public vote chose Popovici, but I would say the reasoning is, like your reasoning, the sexy name. He's had all of the articles written about him.
I think it's because of the potential that he has in the next few years as well. And I think people are, because he's doing this at 16, because he's doing this at 16, he has to win gold at Paris or at LA or whatever. And you've got to perform now to win this award. So Bobby Fink, let's go for Bobby Fink.
Okay, we're not ignoring the public vote, but I managed to sway Dan before we got to that decision.
Yes, well done.
Okay. All right then, next award, most improved British swimmer. Now, last year, I think our winner was Abby Wood.
Yes.
Because she had an incredible year, basically changing her swimming career, essentially, thanks to ISL.
Yes.
Now, this year we've got, I think there's five. We had five, we put four to the public vote. So the honorable mention goes to Lucy Hope, who at the age of 24, if I remember correctly.
I think it's 24. It's roughly around that sort of age,
24, made her first Olympic team. I think it was at the last possible moment at the Glasgow meet, just like Laura Stevens.
Yep.
Definitely deserves an honorable mention as most improved Brit to get on that Olympic team. But the four that we put to public vote and therefore were our shortlist for this award, Tom Dean, Anna Hopkin, Kathleen Dawson, and Luke Greenbank. Not that we ignored the public vote last time, but I'm going to basically take you through the public vote and why I'm slightly surprised by some of it.
Okay.
Luke Greenbank got 5% of the vote. Now, that's shocking for me.
Very low.
He's gone on to set British records. He got
bronze
in the individual.
In
the 200 backstroke, and the backstroke events were absolutely loaded.
Which
it's just bonkers that he only got 5% of the awards. For me, he's right up there. Kathleen Dawson, she got 26% of the vote. Doesn't surprise me. She improved. I think she improved for me the same as Luke. Exactly the same as Luke against some very, very impressive fields. Then Anna Hopkin got 20% of the vote. Public vote for this award. For me, I still think she's underrated, like massively underrated. The stuff that she does goes hugely under the radar. If we look what she did in the mixed medley relay, I think she went a 52 flat, which is just astonishing.
Very good.
And then you got Tom Dean, who got 47% of the vote, obviously because he dropped his 200 free time, I think by over 2 seconds, to win that Olympic gold. Dan, where are you going? We know where the public went. Where are you going?
I'm actually completely opposite to the public. I think Luke Greenbank is up there. Honestly, I do. Basically, for what you've just said, because he is facing some of the best backstrokers we've ever seen in swimming. You've got Ryan Murphy, Rylov. I know Kleshnikov's more of a 100-meter backstroker, but he was racing him. Zhaiyu from China. I mean, there's loads. Common Stewart, of course, who's more suited to the short course, of course. The fact that he has improved so much on the underwater phase, which is what I was so excited about in his 200-meter final against Ryloth and Murphy, because they are definitely the two best on the male side at the Underwaters. The fact that he's now challenging those two shows massive improvement. And since the title of the award is Most Improved Brit, has to be Luke Greenbank for me. I mean, yes, absolutely. The other three have done so well. Kathleen Dawson is just a monster on backstroke, or well, she was at Europeans getting a British record. The swim speed that she has is incredible, but she needs to improve that underwaters for her to win this award for me. Anna Hopkin is absolutely getting better, especially the performances she put in an ISL. So I could probably, I'm kind of like, you could sway me if yours is Anna Hopkin, but I'm sticking with Luke Greenbank. I think he's done phenomenal, and he's putting in so much hard work under Mel Marshall at Loughborough as well. I think there's good, better things to come from him. Honestly, I do.
That caught me by surprise, Dan.
Mm.
I thought this was a straight, easy handout of the award.
Oh, really?
I gone Tom Dean.
Have you? Yeah.
You don't. 2 seconds off of 200 free after, God, people have drinking games on this, but after having COVID twice during the build-up.
Yeah.
How can you not? How can you? He won Olympic gold. And you're a 200 freestyle swimmer to knock 2 seconds off.
I mean, you say 2 seconds. He went 144 at trials. So are you basing the 2 seconds off the whole year?
The whole season. The whole season.
The whole season. Yeah.
Before trials, he hadn't gone sub 146.
I suppose for me, the fact that Luke is winning it for me is that he's broken the British record, which was a record that that was stood for, I want to say 11 years, I think. I think it was James Goddard's record. That's a big feat. That's a big feat to achieve. And the fact that he's done that and broken it by a fair amount, and the fact that he's living in this backstroke era, which is just outstanding, and to be on the podium during this era is monumental, to be honest with you. Yes, Tom Dean won gold.
It's the Olympic gold, man.
And again, that's the argument, isn't it? It's the Olympic gold. But we're talking about the most improved, over the swim. Which part would you say is most improved on?
What, Tom Dean?
Yeah.
Just the time, man.
Just the time.
It's just there on paper.
Well, I suppose so, but is there a certain element that he's clearly improved to try and get pacing that Olympic gold?
He's definitely paced it better. You saw at trials, he just got pipped by Duncan and he just didn't have that back end. And then he finally got that hard block of training in.
Yeah.
After trials, before Tokyo, if anyone hasn't listened to it, I would highly recommend you listen to his interview on Jazz Carling's podcast, The Honest Athletes. He speaks about everything on there. It was a fantastic interview.
Yeah.
I can't see how you're looking past a double Olympic gold medalist.
I'm just thinking
he's gone from the fourth best swimmer of that relay.
Mm.
Essentially, he was the fourth, no, third. Third best swimmer of that 4x2 relay.
Yeah, Jimmy and Duncan, I suppose, ahead of him, didn't you? Yeah.
But he's in that year, he's leapfrogged Duncan.
He did miss out the whole 145 segment of the time, I suppose, didn't he?
Are you serious?
That's difficult. All right. It's very difficult.
I'm going to stop.
Yeah.
We aren't going to agree on this. I'm going to have to say the public vote sways it.
It went massively in the end. He got more than double
47% Kathleen in the end. 5%.
Yeah. I think it's just because he won Olympic gold, you see. Luke were to win Olympic gold on the backstroke, I mean, Luke would definitely be in there.
I'm with you. I am not saying he doesn't deserve praise. That's not what I'm saying.
My only thinking was that the title of the award is Most Improved Brit, and Luke Greenbank has certainly improved his underwaters. And I suppose the pacing as well, because he's actually attacked it from the start of the 200.
Yeah.
So he has actively made changes to his swim to improve his time, and it's brought results. British record, bronze medal at Olympics. That was my thinking. But I suppose Tom Dean has dropped 2 seconds. But yeah, we'll have to do public voting event, I'm afraid.
And therefore, 47%. The most improved British swimmer in 2021 is Tom Dean.
Tom Dean, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to... It's fine. It's okay. No, seriously, he's done so well. Like you say, he's had COVID twice. And to beat Duncan, who I had was favourite to win that 200 free for the last three years as well, was a massive swim. And I talked about his family celebrating right at the start of this podcast.
Mm.
He's done fantastic this year. So, most improved Brit, sure. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad we're still friends. Best British female para swimmer then, because para swimming, if anyone doesn't know, the British para swimming scene is thriving. It's better than it's ever been. So we cannot have an award show about British swimming without these two next awards, female and male. The female swimmers that were up for this award, Bethany Firth, Maisie Summers-Newton, Tully Kearney, and Hannah Russell. Dan, where have you gone with this one?
Honestly, this award could go to any of them. They all did amazingly well at Tokyo. All came away with at least one Paralympic gold. I suppose for me, it would have to go to... It's between Bethany Firth and Maisie Summers-Newton. It's between one of those two, and I'm easily swayed on this one. It could go to either of them. Just to pick one out of the two, I'm going to say Maisie. She got a world record in 200 IM and also won a gold in the 100 breaststroke as well. Double Paralympic champion, sorry. I'm going to pick Maisie.
Yeah, I mean, Bethany Firth won 4 Paralympic medals.
Yeah.
That's pretty good going. Pretty good going. But for me, it was the individual world record of Maisie that tipped it over the edge. I think I'm with you. And the public vote as well went 56% Maisie Summers-Newton. So I think that was the tipping point, that individual world record.
Yeah, I was going to say, because Bethany did get break award record, but it was in the mixed medley relay. It's part of a relay. But yeah, like you say, she did get 4 medals. First in the 100 backstroke, gold in the mixed relay, like we just said. Second in the 200 IM and second in the 200 free. So she had 4 medals. So it's difficult. It's very difficult. But should we say Maisie? Because that world record, I think, just edges it over the top.
Only just.
And it's not by much.
And the public vote. For me, that was kind of the final tipping point, actually. Vote as well.
But you had Tully Kearney, who also got a world record in 100 meters freestyle, second in the 200 freestyle, so she has to be mentioned. And then Hannah Russell was also in there because she won gold in the S12 100 meter backstroke and got a bronze in the 100 meter freestyle as well. So very tough award to give away, but I think we've got it just right with Maisie, I would think.
I hope so.
If
anyone wasn't aware, British para swimming is good.
It's on fire.
Very good. Yes. Very good. Male side then, British male para swimmer of the year. For me, there were 3 names we put up for this. We put Scott Quinn, Stephen Clegg, and Rhys Dunn. And for me, this was fairly easy. I don't want to say that, but it was.
I think this is the easiest award that we're going to give away for that whole thing, actually. Yeah. And it has to go to Rhys Dunn, GB's most successful Tokyo athlete at the Paralympics. Gold in the 200 meter freestyle. He's an S14 swimmer with a world record. Gold in the 200 IM with a world record. Gold in the mixed medley relay, which was the world record, like we said, with Bethany Firth. And then he topped off with a silver in 100 fly and a third in 100 back.
Be good.
Very difficult to top that. Very difficult. Stephen Clegg got his silver in 100 meter fly, third in 100 back and third in 100 meter freestyle. And then Scott Quinn got his bronze in 100 meter breaststroke. Unless anyone else has got any ideas, Scott, is it going to go to anyone else other than Rhys Dunn? I don't see it.
It's
got to
go for Rhys Dunn. If we were doing sports personality, Scott Quinn.
Scott Quinn. Yeah.
easily.
You're supposed to be nervous before racing. The fact that he went out dancing.
Yeah, brilliant. I love it.
Just incredible. I mean, if you're going to be relaxed, that's the way to do it. He's headphones in, he's jigging around. Absolutely, personality-wise, it would be him. But Rhys Dunn, in terms of performance and best British para swimmer for the male side, it's got to be, hasn't it? It's got to be.
I'm with you. Yeah. Like you said, this was actually one of my easiest choices.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Best British race of the year. Now... These next 2 categories, the British race of the year and international race of the year, are going to be impossibly hard to pick from because there are so many incredible performances. Like we said, British swimming is at its best point it has ever been.
Yep.
So I think it's worth mentioning that this is our opinion again. We may not get this one right in a lot of people's eyes because we have our own biases in terms of what races we prefer to watch. Honorable mentions then, Tan, and I cannot believe this is an honorable mention. Adam Peaty 100 breaststroke for the Olympic final to win his back-to-back gold. I'm scratching my head.
Let's figure that out. We wrote that sort of note in there and we still can't believe it ourselves. I mean, he's just gone, I think, I can't remember off the top of my head now, but at least the top 18 of the top 20 times ever. With that final time being part of that 18, and he's not in the British Race of the Year. That's just, it's phenomenal, isn't it?
Well, it's an honourable mention. Honourable mention.
It's an honourable mention, yeah.
Another honourable mention, women's 200 metres breaststroke at trials. Molly Renshaw, Abby Wood, incredible head-to-head, and both of them dipping under the previous British record. I mean, that's got to be mentioned. The men's 200 metres freestyle at British Trials, it didn't get a lot of votes in the public voting, but for me, actually, that could be... Had the Olympics not gone how the Olympics went, that was right up there with the best. It's the best ever domestic race. Hands down, the best ever domestic race we've ever seen.
Well, if I stop you there, that was my choice. The 200-free at British Trials, just because you went into the race, and it's the top two, isn't it, that qualify for the individual. And at the time, of course, I was picking Duncan to win gold. So I was saying Duncan was one of those swimmers. And then outside of that, it could have been three, four swimmers that could have joined Duncan on the individual. And then, of course, you have to have the top four make the 4x2 team.
Well, we took six.
And we took six in the end. Yeah. And one of them missed out in got the consideration time and didn't end up going. Cameron Curl.
But that wasn't at trials. What? That was at a different race.
But that was later on. And you just think, God, blimey. The standard was so high. That was the one I had chosen. I was toying between, of course, the 200-free at Tokyo as well, where Duncan got silver and Tom won his gold. That was my other two. The other choices that we haven't mentioned was the mixed 4x1 medley, where gold. We won gold as well, and the men's 4x200 freestyle, where we won gold as well at the Olympics. Tough choice. Really tough choice. I'm going against the grain here just because it's not part of the Olympics, you see. Yeah, just because the standard was so high. And you know me, and I like drama, obviously, and I just didn't know who was going to go. I didn't know who was going to go. And the fact that Matt Richards pulled out a blinding swim to go ahead of Jimmy
came fourth. Yeah.
Yeah. Not expecting that, are you? And so it was billed as our best race ever.
Domestically.
On British soil, domestically. That was my choice. And if I'm going to pick another one from the Olympics, it would have been the 200-free. What about you?
Yeah, I agree with you that at trials, that was amazing. But this is an Olympic year. Yeah. So there's quite a bit of waiting for me on the Olympics compared to domestic. And the fact that Tom Dean and Duncan went 1-2, I think is it the first time ever that we've had a British 1-2 at the Olympics?
In the events, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't look past it. I can't look past it at all.
Well, the public vote was 58% as well, which is pretty ginormous, to be honest with you.
So there you go.
And I was shouting at the screen. I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it was, shouting at the screen, woke everyone up in my house, which was didn't go down too well. But ultimately, it was for a good reason. And the fact that it was a British record as well, if I remember right, and borderline, you know, Hall of Fame sort of standard of swimming. As soon as one of those goes 143, then you're a Hall of Fame 200 meter freestyler. And they're on the brink of it. They're on the brink of it. If it wasn't Olympic year, I would have picked the 200-free at British Trials. But as it is Olympic year, it's difficult to look outside the 200-free at Olympics with the 1 and 2. Has to be, doesn't it? 58% on the public vote. Has to be, doesn't it?
The relays were phenomenal and they won by a country mile. And we haven't seen British swimming that dominant ever in a relay. But a 1-2 at the Olympic Games in individual, for me, has to win the propulsion swimming British race of the year. Has to.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, the mixed medley relay was a world record. We've got to mention that.
Yeah.
The 4x2 was nearly a world record. If it was world records, we'd be having slightly different conversations, I think. I don't know. Very difficult. So I suppose in a weird way, it's lucky they didn't get the 4x2 world record because then we'd be stuck. Very much stuck. And it would have to go public votes, which ended up being a 200-free anyway. But it would have been swayed. Who knows? 200-free it is, though.
Okay. International race of the year.
God,
shall I
so
list
many.
Every race at the Olympics?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
There's so many competitive races here that you could pick from. There was the women's 100 meter backstroke, the men's, any backstroke race at the Olympics, essentially. They were all phenomenal. You couldn't have picked 1, 2, or 3 before the Olympics. Anyone who said they knew who was coming first, you're lying.
You're lying.
The men's 100 meters butterfly. I think that was hugely competitive to see. Well, actually, a surprise that Dressel got pushed quite so far by Milak.
Well, honestly, I mean, Dressel was supposed to beat the world record, which he did, but he was supposed to win it by a country mile, not he by, didn't. What was it, 0.2 or 0.3 in the end. Milak came back like an absolute freight train. That's like Chalmers, reminiscent of how he swims races. I'm looking forward to what Milak does, actually.
I am. I mean,
he was really disappointed that he didn't get the 200 fly world record, and you could see in his face, like, he was gutted, but he was really happy with that 100 fly, and rightly so. That's a honorable mention. That's not even in our top four, can you believe? Incredible.
Yeah, and the four we took to public vote. So we had the men's 1500 meters freestyle, which, as we said before, Bobby Fink, incredible race, incredible race. The women's 100 meters butterfly. All of these are at the Olympics, by the way.
Yep.
The women's 100 meters butterfly, which was the fastest 100 meters butterfly field of all time.
I believe so. Yep.
The men's 100 meters freestyle, which was that amazing head-to-head between Dressel and Chalmers. Chalmers, you would have won if you didn't breathe in the last 5 meters.
Yeah, gutting. Yeah.
And then the women's 400 meters freestyle, which was almost the most hyped race of the Tokyo Olympics. The head-to-head between Ledecky and Titmus. Titmus went up from the 200 to race the 4. Ledecky came down from the 8 to race the 4.
Yeah.
Oh, Dan, where have you gone?
This was, believe it or not, after all those races and amazing races that you've just talked about, this was probably my second easiest choice from all the awards, can you believe? It's the women's 400 free. The head-to-head between Ledecky and Titmus was, like you say, it was hyped so much. And I tell you what, it lived up to expectations. And I think tactically, it was perfect from both. Ledecky had to take it out, because she knew Titmus was going to win on a final 50-meter sprint. And then Titmus had to hold on to Ledecky's hips or feet to then be able to overtake on the final 50 meters. It played out perfectly. If it was a 350-meter race, they would have drawn.
Yes.
But the fact that Titmus just managed to hold on to Ledecky's early pacing, that's why Titmus won. I just think it was a tactical masterclass from two both. Very, very good swimmers. And I just think it's only going to get better as well when Paris rolls around, to be honest with you. So that would be my choice. Although the men's 100 free would have been a second choice. And I feel like that's where you would go.
Yeah, I went the men's 100 meters freestyle purely because Chalmers was almost forgotten before the Olympics. I'm not saying he was the Olympic champion going into this, and everyone had handed Dressel that medal already.
Yeah.
Now, you watch the race back and Chalmers should have won. He really should have won. The only reason he lost was the technical
prowess.
Smarts of Dressel.
Was it a Chalmers fault, or was it just a Dressel masterclass where he didn't breathe for the final 15 meters?
Yeah, that's the only reason
normal. Yeah, that isn't normal. You're not supposed to do that. I mean, how do you do...
Well, you are supposed to do that, but not many people can.
Yeah, well, how do you do 70, 80 meters of pretty much flat out and then hold your breath for the final 10, 15 seconds? Oh, man, just incredible skill, I suppose, ability. But yeah, that would have been my second choice. But the women's 100, that 400 free was my pick. I don't know if you're going to sway me in any way.
Right, so the public vote was 50% for that 400 meters freestyle. So for all the swaying that I could do, I don't think I can. Because I'm with you. It's not like our conversation around Popovici. I think this race, again, technically, both of them swam the perfect race. Mm. There was nothing either of them could have done better. The men's 100 meters freestyle is a race I'm looking forward to seeing for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
The head-to-head is nuts. But
I think at both races were a brilliant advert for swimming. The fact you basically have the two best of probably potentially all time, maybe. They're getting to that sort of level. But they're getting to that sort of level, though, aren't they? And the fact that they hyped it as much as they did and they performed at the time as well, I think both of them need to be, if we could award for both, it would be this one. But the 400 free for me, just because it was technically, tactically perfect, and then you've got the antics of Dean Boxall on the side as well, which tops it off, you know. Again, another good advert for swimming, in my opinion. I hope more races like that happen. We need more head-to-heads to happen in this sort of way to boost the sport.
Okay, then. So the international race of the year goes to the women's 400 meters freestyle and the head-to-head between Irene Titmus and Katie Ledecky. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to argue. Right. We are coming towards the end of this show, which means the big awards, the big ones. So the propulsion swimming best British female of the year. There's plenty of amazing performances. Yes, the guys stole the show in terms of individual medals at the Olympics, but I think female swimming in Britain is probably close to as good as it's ever been. There's depth all over the place. I think Paris is going to be hugely exciting. There were a few very close misses in Tokyo. You had Abby Wood coming fourth. You had Molly Renshaw as well in 200 meters breaststroke. Kathleen Dawson's got big future ahead of her. Anna Hopkin, big future. Freya Anderson, massive future, just not quite there yet. I think people are crowning her there already. She's got time. She's got plenty of time.
I think people forget because she's so tall, they're just assuming that she's in her like mid-20s. She's 20.
Yeah.
She's young. Very young. She's got enough. She's got time, everyone.
Lots
she's got
of time.
Yeah.
For me, oh, you know what? I'm so on the fence with this one.
It's difficult. This was a hard one.
I've had this in front of me for several days.
Yeah.
And I flip-flop between Anna Hopkin and Abby Wood.
Yeah,
so difficult. Anna Hopkin, the individual side, she didn't quite get to the level of Abby Wood. But what she does in relays is just incredible.
Well, she actually pulled out of the, it was the 50 meters, wasn't it? She pulled out of the 50 meters to
I thought she was going to do phenomenal in that 50 because actually I think she has the best start for me. She has the best start in professional swimming.
Really?
In especially on the female side. She has the best start.
I would challenge that with Cromwell Yo-Yo, but it's up Kira there. Let's see that. Oh, it depends, because Kira doesn't really dive in, does she? She's best on the back. But Anna's definitely reaching, let's say she's top five, definitely, at the start, which is probably the reason why we were really looking forward to her 50 meters.
Yes.
But if you're given the choice of probably definitely winning gold in that mixed medley, or potentially scraping bronze, you're probably going to pick the gold, aren't you? So that's the reason why she dropped the 50 in the end. I just think she's got a fantastic future. Has she done enough to win this year's award? Oh, man, it's so difficult. She's doing so well at ISL at the moment. She did really well at ISL this year, sorry. I just think, because Kathleen Dawson has to be thrown in there too.
Whoa. Hold on. You've just swayed me by saying ISL.
I'm going
Abby Wood.
Are you?
Because
Abby Wood had a very good ISL.
Exactly. Yeah. She finished fourth in the 200 meters individual medley, which was a loaded event. It was heartbreaking for her to finish fourth.
Yeah.
But at the same time, incredible, incredible finish. And then ISL, she was the highest scoring Brit through the regular season. Her team didn't do a good enough job getting her to the playoffs, but she was the highest scoring Brit for the regular season. And an individual fourth place. Oh, I know we've put so much emphasis on Olympic gold so far. No, I think Abby Wood for me.
This is a very, very hard award to give. I'm not quite sure. Anna's done fantastic. Yes, Olympic gold medal. For me, on an individual point of view, I don't think she quite gets there. And I think this is the reason why Kathleen Dawson is on the same sort of level as Anna. She's great in the medley relays. It just quite hasn't quite clicked in the individual just yet. Give it a couple more years, maybe even next year, I think it will be there. But as of right now, you've got to think of present day. It's got to be Abby Wood, fourth at the Olympics. Maybe should have got bronze, but just unlucky on the touch. And then the ISL has probably tipped it. That's where I was leading with the ISL as well.
Yeah.
So I would be picking Abby Wood. That would be my choice.
And then the public vote was 50% Abby Wood as well. I mean, as much as we could debate, I think that one probably seals it.
That was a tough choice, though.
That was really hard. So best British female of the year from propulsion swimming is Abby Wood. Okay, then. Penultimate award, Daniel.
Yes.
Best British male of the year. Now, this one, for me, is actually just as hard as the female side.
Yes,
so
I agree.
I'm going to give an honourable mention to Luke Greenbank, who just missed out on our most improved Brit. But the four that go into our public votes were Tom Dean, Duncan Scott, Adam Peaty and James Guy.
Mm.
Now, last year's winner, Adam Peaty, on the public vote, only got 11%, which is stunning. I think maybe people underrate just how good he is now.
I think that's the problem, is that he is now head and shoulders above everyone else. So you just assume, oh, he's won gold and it's not a big deal, when actually it is a big deal. For me now, for me, if you nail back-to-back Olympic title defenses, you're a legend of the sport. You have to be, aren't you? This is why I was questioning when we did our live streams, is Adam Peaty, before he won that gold, was he a legend of the sport? You said yes, some people said no. I said I was on the fence. As soon as he won that gold, tick, legend of the sport. Has to be. And the fact that he's the only one to break 57 is just monumental, but he's only got 11% on the public vote, and he's not my choice either, believe it or not.
Okay.
We put Jimmy Guy in there because he's won his medals in the relays, and I think... It's difficult. I can't think of anyone else who is a better relay swimmer than him.
I can't fault his attitude. The fact that he gave up his individual and that 100 fly, he will have won bronze. He definitely would have won bronze.
Very strong chance.
Was swimming in the relays, the improvements he's made on his underwaters, especially that turn. I would love to see what he does to Dressel next to him on that turn. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
For me, you had to put him on the shortlist. He probably doesn't get all the headlines because he didn't do an individual, but he's the glue on the relays.
How long has he been part of British swimming now? As part of he's effectively the backbone of British relay or the men's British relays. And he's been there and done it and got every medal at every international meet. And he's just continuing that rich vein of form. And I just think he just goes and does it again. In 3 years' time, with pretty much that same relay team that we went into Tokyo with.
So I'm guessing, right? Your decision is between Tom Dean, double Olympic gold medalist, and Duncan Scott, who was the most successful British athlete at one games.
Yes, it's between those two. Correct.
Where are you going? Where are you going?
I'm going for Duncan. I'm picking Duncan. To win four medals in a pool has never been done before.
By
a Brit, of course. And the fact he got so unlucky with probably all of those races, weirdly. Missed out on the world record in the 4x2. I suppose unlucky because the Americans were on the outside lane in the 4x1 medley, because he would have chased down or given a good race to Zach Apple at the end. The 203, Tom Dean just pipped him at the end. It's just all on the touch. What was it? 0.04 in the end. They finished together, basically. And then the 200 IM, again, coming back like a steam train and just missed out. He could have walked away with four golds. Could have done. Unfortunately, missed out and got two silvers, but he did fantastic in the end.
Yeah, I am entirely with you. For those who weren't watching on the YouTube podcast, I was nodding my head. I'd argue he's now a bigger name than Adam Peaty.
Ooh. He needs a world record to his name, and then absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
But the problem is the races that he does, the world records, that 200 IM world record is tough. The 203 is just, no one's getting anywhere near that for probably 15, 20 years. That's how quick that world record is. I suppose that's what's stopping him from being on par with Adam, I suppose. I suppose he needs an individual gold as well. Maybe he needs that. But I've been talking about him for 2-3 years before we started propulsion swimming. He should be the name in British swimming.
He should.
And he's slowly getting there. If not, he should already be there, to be honest with you.
And therefore, the double Olympic gold medalist, Tom Dean, misses out.
Yeah, can you believe it?
That's hard. That's really hard to say.
Can you believe it?
But the best British male that we have voted for this year, not the second year in a row, because Adam won it last year, is Duncan Scott. I think you'll find very few to argue with that, personally. I do think two golds at the Olympics is big for Tom Dean and Adam. Duncan Scott is a phenomenal, phenomenal swimmer.
Yeah, so versatile, and he can do near enough every stroke, can't he, to a world-class standard as well. Big things from him in the future.
What that does mean, Dan, is we've gone through a whole award show. There's still one more to go.
Yeah.
Without Adam Peaty winning an award.
I know.
Whoops.
Unfortunately, I just think some people have just done slightly
No, I wouldn't say they've done slightly better. I think it's just the categories that he's been put into. And
I suppose so. It's difficult, isn't it? But it is.
But that's the strength of British swimming right now.
That's
that
just
really
it.
Is.
It should be seen as a positive. It should be seen as a positive. Yeah. Right, one more award to go.
Final award, Best International Swimmer of the Year. Now, last year, this was a slam dunk because we just had ISL and it was just the Caleb Dressel show.
Yes.
This year, I haven't got enough fingers to count the amount of swimmers that we could put
so
in
many.
Here.
Yeah.
We've got on our, I cannot believe this is honorable mentions. This is like the all-stars of 2021 swimming.
Yeah.
Kaylee McEwen.
Double gold medalist.
Katie Ledecky.
Double gold medalist.
Yo Ohashi.
Double gold medalist.
Zhang Yufei.
I can't remember how many. She won the 200 fly, definitely, and got a silver in the 100 fly, I believe.
Christoph Millack.
No, she won two golds. Yeah, she won two golds.
Christoph Millack.
Gold and silver.
Bobby Fink.
A double gold. It's ridiculous. And they're honourable mentions.
Do you know what? I'm going to put Ryloff in honourable mentions as well because the public vote, he didn't get any respect whatsoever. But he was a double gold.
He was a double gold as well. Which makes you think, who on earth is in the shortlist? What have they done to achieve the shortlist?
Shall I say the top three then?
Yep.
Irene Titmus, Emma McEwen, and Caleb Dressel. Now, this was very hard to pick from, except for the fact that for me it wasn't.
Oh, really? That is interesting.
I don't know whether people will agree with me. This was right up there with one of my easiest decisions.
Was it actually? I mean, I'm looking at my decision now. I've got a star next to the name of the person I've chosen. And even now I'm just thinking, God, the other two have done so well. I suppose for me, I'm going to eliminate one for you. I'm going to eliminate Titmus, which is so difficult to say.
since she's
double gold medalist and won the 400 free, which was my race or our race, because we just awarded it of the year. And the fact that she was so close to that 200 meter world record as well. Which is a monster world record by Pellegrino, mind you. For me, it's just because she's not taking part in ISL. That feels so hard
really?
To say.
That's your swaying point.
A little bit, yeah, because the other two have passed it in ISL.
That was not my...
Was it not?
That wasn't even in my picture.
Oh, was it not? Well, I'm doing the whole year, you see. I'm trying to do the whole thing.
Okay. So my decision, quite simply... Emma McEwen.
Okay.
7 Olympic medals. And if there wasn't a certain swimmer named Michael Phelps, that would be down as probably the greatest ever Olympics in the pool. It would be right up there with Spitz. It really would be.
Especially in the year where
it only gets
the era of swimming that we're
it
in.
It only gets trumped by Phelps. 7. Mm. She's better, for my eyes, she's better than Lochte.
Off one Olympics, are you saying?
Yes.
Then yes, you have to agree with that. Yes, of course. Yeah.
And it's just phenomenal. I'd be amazed if you argue any other way.
Oh, no. The star that I have next to the name is Emma McEwen. It is. Okay. I suppose the only way that you would debate that is that Dressel went into Tokyo.
Most pressure.
He did 6 races, didn't he? 6 races. They didn't medal in the... mixed medley, I believe it was, wasn't it? They didn't medal in that, the Americans, because they messed up badly. But then the other 5 events, Dressel won gold. So difficult. I mean, I've got a star next to McEwen, just because, for the same reason. 7 medals, which is unheard of if you take Phelps out. I suppose if you take Spitz out as well. It's unheard of. It's the first woman to do it by far. And the fact that she was, the times that she was throwing down, in the 100 free, the 50 free, they were breaking the time barriers, you know? It was easy, but not, because it's difficult to not say Dressel is up there because of the stuff he does at ISL. It's just incredible. To win 5 golds and not be International Swimmer of the Year, it's just baffling to say. Baffling to say.
He did have the most pressure on his shoulders out of any swimmer at those
Olympics.
More than PT. More than PT.
Yes. Yeah.
But Emma McEwen just blew the doors off. I think she's taken women's swimming to the next level.
I'd like to think so. It's her and Solstrom, who we didn't even mention, but she did have a bit of a bad elbow. Done very well at ISL this year, mind you, but we base a lot of it on the Olympics because it's the pinnacle, of course. Mm. I've picked McEwen. I'm agreeing with you, and I look at the names and you just think I'm not saying Dressel, which is mental, but she won 7 medals. You just can't take that away from her. Did really well at ISL, and Emma McEwen, best international of the year.
And there we go. That is our award show done. Should we run through who our winners were then very quickly to end this?
Yeah, go on.
So the British newcomer of the year, Matt Richards. Hugely exciting things to come from him.
Very.
International newcomer of the year, I swayed down and we went for Bobby Fink over David Popovici. I'm pretty sure that one's not going to be very popular. Most improved Brit of the year, we went Tom Dean over Luke Greenbank. Mm-hmm. Again, that was a tough decision for you.
That was down to public vote in the end, wasn't it?
It was.
Couldn't split off, yeah.
Best British para female swimmer of the year, Maisie Summers Newton.
Yep.
Best British male para swimmer of the year, Rhys Dunn. Mm-hmm. British race of the year, the men's 200 meters freestyle at the Olympics. I mean, that was quite easy.
Has to be, doesn't it? Has to be.
International race of the year, the women's 400 meters freestyle at the Olympics, the head-to-head between Ledecky and Titmuss, pretty much unrivaled by any race. Best British female of the year, Abby Wood. Best male Brit of the year, Duncan Scott. And best international swimmer of the year, Emma McEwen.
Yep.
I think there's a few debatable ones in there. But
there is.
We have our reasoning. Thank you so much, everyone who has listened to this podcast over the course of the year. Before we finish, we are going to give one thing that we want to see in 2022 and one thing we want to leave in 2021.
Yes.
Dan, you kick things off with your one you want to see and your one you want to leave.
The one thing I want to see is we need to make use of the underwater cameras more, I feel, especially these international meets. And I think you have like VAR in football, in rugby, where they slow it down, etc. And I think we need to involve this more, especially on breaststroke races, because I'm seeing, especially at ISL, a lot of fly kicks or too many fly kicks on the underwater phase and fly kicks during the actual stroke of breaststroke, which needs to be slammed down. Because it's cheating.
So you're basically saying you want better officiating in 2022.
That or just to use the cameras, use the technology available, and you can see it. You can see it. Why isn't more stuff being done about it? I'm not a fan of cheating. And we've talked about drugs. There should not be any drug cheats on this. We don't even mention their names. And I just think it puts the sport in a bad light. There shouldn't be any cheating. It's quite simple. It's just general sports, isn't it? So I would say the one thing I want to see in 2022 is proper VAR is what I want to see.
That's interesting. And one thing you want to leave in 2021?
Oh, COVID. Very simply, because the lack of crowds and atmosphere, it was painful to see at some of the meets this year. One being Tokyo, of course. I mean, can you imagine watching some of those races with the crowd and the Japanese people being there?
Yeah.
Especially for Ohashi winning.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think Saito might have brought him up a little bit better.
Agreed.
As well.
Agreed.
So it sounds obvious, but let's leave COVID now. Or something, hopefully it disappears. That'd be quite nice. And then bring back crowds, bring back fans onto poolside to watch these swimmers do what they do best. What would be your things?
One thing I want to see more in 2022 is increased coverage of swimming. We've just seen the Olympics, especially in Britain, most successful British Olympic squad, essentially better than rowing, better than athletics.
Yep.
Let's get these names on TV. We've seen that BBC took an interest finally in ISL when it came to the playoffs and the final. I want to see more meets televised, or maybe not even that, just on YouTube, or just a bit more exposure for British swimming as a whole. And one thing I want to leave in 2021, I'm going to say COVID as well. Swimming needs spectators. I've had this issue that right now sport is slowly becoming television event rather than actually being at a sporting venue. And I'm very worried that swimming could very easily be just a pool and a camera. I think swimming is best when there are fans there and you get to experience the atmosphere, the racing. You actually see these races up close and personal. Yeah, I actually want to leave the empty stadiums, the ISL pools or the FINA
World Cup
series with empty swims where you've got world records where it's just silent. I'm done with that.
Well, it's not even that. It's the lower end sort of level of swimming. Mm. The counties and stuff. Like counties is happening very soon. You know, January, February, March, this is when counties happen. And especially in the southeast, I don't think there's any spectators allowed on poolside at some of these pools, which is such a shame, especially when, you know, parents are doing all this work, effectively being the taxi driver, cooking for their swimmer, and then they can't see them race. It's a shame. And this is where hopefully live streams will pick up, I suppose, but it doesn't build the atmosphere just putting a camera on the side of the pool. You need you need fans, you need parents, you need people there. So hopefully it does.
Same.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay, so that rounds up our end of year review, our award show. If you disagree with any of our choices, I'm sure there'll be one or two.
Probably.
Please leave some comments in the YouTube comment section. If you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, there'll be a link in the description of this where you can head over and leave your point of view. Thank you so much for everyone who has joined us this year. Like we said at the start, we've had some crazy good interviews. This is only the start. There is so much more to come. We are definitely wanting to carry on being the voice for British swimming and connecting all of our listeners with not just the elite but the knowledge of the swimming community in this country.
I think we've made that really clear. Actually, it's not just about the elite side of swimming. That's actually a very niche sort of, you know, it's less than 1% really. We want to talk about the club swimming, para swimming, master swimming, maybe even a bit of triathlon, open water swimming, of course. We want to talk about everything, promote everything, because swimming is one big umbrella, I suppose. We want to do the whole lot. Like Scott said, we've got lots of plans. Really looking forward to it. We hope to have loads of amazing guests again and carry that on. And hopefully we'll have a really good 2022, everyone.
Yeah, touch wood. There is a lot of competitions to look forward to next year. We've got the Commonwealth Games, we've got World Championships, and we've got European Championships. We are not going to be disappointed, and there is not going to be a lack of racing to pay attention to. Usually after the Olympics, it goes a bit quiet. Not going to happen next year.
No.
It's going to be nuts.
This is the COVID effect. Everything's been crammed into this next year. So, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. I don't know how the elite swimmers are going to do it, whether they're going to do all three or they're going to pick and choose. Don't know.
We'll find out.
We'll get some guests on. We'll find out for you guys.
Yeah. So thank you very much to everyone who's listened to this award show. There will be a shortened version on our YouTube channel, just basically showing each award. This is our discussion of how we came to those decisions. If you haven't subscribed already, please do so. It is in the link of this podcast. But from me, Scott, Dan, we will be back very soon.
Thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.